Hey there, audio listener. Thank you so much for the support. We know that you, the people who listen on audio, often in your cars, are the most dedicated listeners. We really appreciate it and appreciate the support. And it's more important than ever for you to help us. If you want the show to continue by joining at lottowithcredit.com/mugclub, I'm not even going to edit that. lottowithcredit.com/mugclub. Everyone misspeaks every now and then. You get the hand-etched mug, hand-painted mug, and of course the entire Blaze TV catalog, as well as exclusive episodes that you don't see on YouTube, you don't get on iTunes. So please do join up. It's more important than ever. $69 if you're a student, veteran, or active military. Just enter in that code, and hopefully we'll be here to serve you with this show for as long as you guys join. Enjoy the show.
Let's say I try and kill myself. Bunch of pills, put a gun to my head, whatever it is. I'm close, but no cigar. So I get put in the hospital, right? Basically put on life support. They're trying to help me survive. And I don't make it. And just before I die from my suicide, I get COVID-19. Is that a COVID death?
No. And I would think it would be one of these few outliers, too. Does that
That is literally a COVID death right now.
You know how it be. It's time for the latest Change My Mind. And outside of violent riots, there's one topic that is at the tip of everyone's tongue.
Even as the death toll in America continues to climb past 60,000, 2,000 new deaths a day, day after day after day.
If people have an underlying condition, it is exacerbated by the virus and therefore included in the death count.
Citing CDC data now reports that the U.S. death toll is actually far higher than what's been reported.
And you know what? I don't buy it. I think the death count is grossly overinflated, but what do you think? What constitutes a COVID death versus someone dying of COVID? And do you trust the media's reporting on the topic? Let me know in the comments below. On with the show, meet Drees.
Well, I appreciate it. Here, you want to move in then so we can actually hear you?
Sure.
My name's Steven.
Or
do you
want to
do the social distancing?
Pause. Now, before all of you in the media and or the comment section say that I wasn't properly socially distancing, I offered every single person, including on this topic and the topic of America not being racist, the option of me wearing mask or going maskless. See for yourself.
I'll put on my mask if you so desire.
No, I don't care.
You don't? All right. Do you want me to put on a mask?
No.
No, you don't mind?
I don't mind.
Okay.
Right.
Do you need me to wear a mask for you? Or?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Would you like me to wear a mask, sir?
I'm fine with this, man.
Are you? Okay. Do you need me to wear a mask, by the way?
Oh, no, you're fine.
Do you need me to wear a mask, by the way?
No.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Do you need me to wear a mask for you?
No.
You okay?
I'm not concerned.
Okay.
Turns out people don't give a rat's ass. On with Drees.
So you were asking, can you actually spell your name for me for the camera?
Yeah, Drees. D-R-E-E-S.
Not Drew Brees.
No,
he's been in a lot of trouble lately for saying that we should, unify. So yes, I do believe. I think statistically, it's at this point, it's pretty hard to argue against the fact that the COVID death numbers have been inflated dramatically. Yeah.
Why? How do you come to that conclusion? I'm just curious.
Sure. Well, I come to the conclusion from a few. Oops, sorry, that fell. From a few numbers. First off, let me ask you: Do you believe the current death totals that we have that's an accurate assessment?
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking the question.
Perfect.
I don't know why you wouldn't think it is. I don't know why someone would lie about it.
Well, I think there are a few reasons that someone might lie about it or might be dishonest regarding that. And that's number one. Let's start where there might be an incentive, and then the statistics that might bear it out.
All right.
Hospital right now gets significantly more revenue if they have a COVID patient versus a non-COVID patient. If they list a non-COVID patient, for example, they might get $5,000 in revenue and some kind of federal relief, United States government relief. They might get up to $13,000 if it's a COVID patient. Now, I understand there are experts who've been on both sides.
DRG code for COVID?
Yeah.
There's a diagnosis-related group code?
Yeah, there was.
COVID.
My wife was just in the hospital,
okay,
and they were asking her about it. Yeah.
Interesting.
As far as I understand, I don't know necessarily if it's a DRG code or a separate code, but my wife just came out of the hospital with GBS.
Because that's how
and
you
it was
do
a big
it.
Deal.
It's a DRG code if you're in a hospital.
Well, then that would be it.
I know a lot about hospitals. Go ahead.
Great. So I do tend to agree with Dr. Birx that it's inflated up to about 25%, specifically at least 25%. And let me present to you why I think that's the case. In New York, are you aware of how many of the COVID deaths are actually just not tested at all?
No idea.
25%.
Okay.
No testing at all. In Colorado recently, they said, well, hold on a second, we need to get some more accurate data here because, as you know, listen, there's a lot of data that comes in, and I do reserve the right to change my mind because data does change, especially in a pandemic.
And there's a lot of deaths.
Right. There have been a significant amount of deaths.
Are you telling me
in
that?
In Colorado, they decided to finally differentiate between deaths from COVID and deaths with COVID because, like New York, every single death where COVID was found in the system was being counted as a COVID death.
Correct.
So they said, we're going to differentiate that.
That makes sense.
The death total came down by, and they're the first state that did that.
Colorado.
The death state was reduced by how much, do you guess?
I don't know, 20%? 25%.
25%. Every single death from nursing homes in the last several months, every single death, regardless of a test or not, has been listed as a COVID death in the United States. 25% of all deaths in any given month in the United States come from nursing homes. So when you look at all those numbers in tandem, and you see how every death, or in most states certainly, except for states like Colorado, death with COVID in the system is being counted. And as we revise those numbers, there seems to be good reason for experts like Dr. Birx, and I mean, there are several experts on all sides, obviously. We had experts who said we would have 2 million deaths from the Imperial College in London, and Neil Ferguson, I believe, had to resign. I think there's a pretty strong case to be made at this point that the death totals, which are the most reliable indicator we have been inflated.
So let me ask you a question. How would you confirm?
Would you mind moving in a little
sure.
bit? I don't think anyone
after
can
hear. A death, how would you confirm that it was COVID? Do you do an autopsy? What do you do?
Yeah, well, we should at least do that.
No,
at least do something.
What is done?
Well, right now, it's just a COVID test. So in other words, if it comes up positive for COVID, period, it's a COVID death. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that George Floyd had COVID in his system? Do you believe he died from COVID?
No.
Okay, neither do I.
Right.
And a mere few weeks ago, that certainly would have been registered as a COVID death. So it's tough because we don't have the statistics on every single COVID case. But here in Texas, actually, a good example. Are you aware of the first COVID death in Texas?
No.
First COVID death was a 97-year-old who already had an underlying condition. I've been trying to search high and low for the underlying condition. Can't get access to it anywhere. I would list maybe underlying condition that he's 97. That could be one of the confounding factors there. But go ahead, yeah. I know you have a question.
No. So what you're saying is then, there is no autopsy done routinely on patients that die who have COVID. Therefore, you can't really say whether they've died from COVID or something else.
No, that's not. I'm actually saying it's worse than that, in that there are definitive cases where doctors, health professionals know that the death is not the direct cause of COVID, and they list it as COVID anyway.
Because you're saying because there's a financial incentive? Is that what you're saying?
There's quite a few incentives. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I think we'd probably agree that it's been politicized for better or worse at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why you have experts who come out and say, right, everyone said, if you don't believe the experts, you're anti-science. If you don't believe 2 million dead. Remember at one point they said, don't wear masks, you're anti-science. I was advocating masks when they said, don't wear masks. We actually started selling them. We didn't actually sell them, but we had a sponsor who was producing masks, turned their entire factory for masks. We said it's good to protect other people. At this point, people like myself were being condemned by the CDC. Then they said, if you don't wear masks, you're unscientific.
Right.
Then they said lockdowns to flatten the curve. Well, not only do we flatten the curve, we put a lot of hospitals into bankruptcy and doctors and nurses out of business because
yes,
we never
did.
Had the same surge that we expected. We just had that recently with my wife in the hospital. She had a minor procedure. And then she came out with GBS. I don't know if you're familiar. It's a central nervous system damage. And she wasn't able to get the kind of care that she needed. She couldn't get a bed because they had to have it reserved for COVID patients.
Right.
She couldn't get an MRI done. It took a day and a half because the rule in the hospital was every single MRI machine had to be reserved for COVID,
right.
except for one. Do you know how many COVID cases they had in that hospital at the time?
Probably zero.
Zero. And so I do think that we need to look at the overall ramifications. And I think certain people haven't looked at all of the above. And the reason I think that they are inflating the deaths is because it's been politicized at this point. For better or worse, they want to blame the United States government for not being prepared for it. For the same reason they said 2 million dead, that they've advocated lockdowns and continued it. There is a financial incentive. And I think a lot of the time people just don't want to admit that they're wrong. So when you ask, you know, do you need to do an autopsy? I think at least doing that would be helpful. At least measuring these deaths as we do, for example, like the flu season of 2016 to 2017. 2016 to 2017 was the worst flu season I think we had. It might have been 18 to 19. And it was interesting to me because when I was looking it up, trying to find the worst flu season in the last two decades, this is me doing research, I saw a number keep coming up, 85,000 deaths from the flu. Turned out the number was 62,000. And the reason for that was because they revised that number and said, actually, these people weren't really dying from the flu. They happen to have flu in their system.
Right.
We're
and
not doing that
in their
with
system,
COVID.
They died of heart attack or whatever.
Right. And I would even go and say, if someone has, for example, a mild condition, let's say like a heart arrhythmia, and COVID causes complications that abnormally they have a heart attack, that should be a COVID death.
Mm-hmm.
But we have such extreme cases and so many cases where it's clearly not coronavirus related or COVID related,
mm-hmm.
and people believe these numbers wholesale.
Mm-hmm. Then I believe your argument. I mean, the gal's got the sign over there. I'm going to ask a simple question. Why do you think it's inflated? So
yeah.
You think it's inflated, one, because there's no confirmation of anybody who's died with COVID that COVID caused it.
No, not anyone who's died. There are many where no tests have been conducted at all.
That's my point.
Yeah, yeah, but you said we haven't had confirmation with anyone. I do believe we've had confirmation with quite a few, but there are a lot where we've had
that
no tests.
That it was
testing.
A COVID death. Okay, yeah. And there's a, so what is the confirmation of a COVID death? What is the official confirmation of a COVID death? That's
right.
I think that's what would be interesting to know.
I think that's an interesting. Now you said you know a lot about hospitals. Are you a doctor?
No.
Okay. You work in a hospital or with hospitals?
No.
Oh no, you don't work with the evil health insurance or big pharma. Okay, good. All right.
I invent complex medical devices for doctors and hospitals.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm an inventor.
Thank you for doing that here in the United States.
I'm an inventor.
I start
companies and employ people.
In Canada, I was originally raised in Canada. Do you know what we call you? Figments of our imagination.
Bad.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore.
Bad.
No, because there's...
I'm evil.
I do not believe so. I think that's what
I'm
makes
evil.
America great and why we have more medical innovations than anywhere in the world.
Ask anybody on either coast. I'm evil.
No.
I start companies. I employ people. I pay them a lot of money. And I'm evil.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know, I should be, but I'm not.
How dare you, sir? I think, what is the standard, for example, that we use in determining a flu death?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know, because that could also be misconstrued by a lot.
But we do have a standard. And we do have a season, right? Now, flu, if you look at a flu season, it typically goes from fall to spring.
Right.
And then it resets. That's how you determine.
October to the end of March and it resets.
Right. Some years they'll go to April if it's still severe, you know, depending on the curve.
It depends where you live.
Why right now is the ticker when you watch CNN still going with the same season, even though we're coming up in July soon? Is that comparable to the flu?
Well, not yes and no, because at least in my ignorance, they're saying that weather is not really an issue with this COVID virus. I have no idea whether that's true or not, because we've told a lot of other things that they backpedaled on.
Right.
60 days after they told us something.
Yeah.
So I have no idea whether that's true or not. But if you believe that it is not weather related, then there really shouldn't be a cutoff on it.
Isn't that interesting? I think kind of what we're talking about.
But I don't know, because again, nothing. We've had so many contradictory things told us.
Right.
That it's hard to know what's real.
Right.
So would you like to know what's something that is real?
You and me having this conversation.
Yeah, we'd like to know something that is real.
About Israel?
That is real.
Oh, I thought you said about Israel. I was no, are you going to come up with
that? That is real.
Yes.
So what percentage of ventilator patients live? What percentage of patients
are going
on a ventilator?
It's not a good prognosis. It's not a good prognosis. As a matter of fact, I was reading a study. I don't know the exact percentage, because this morning I was reading that some studies have shown people do more poorly on ventilators with COVID than CPAPs. And then I read a conflicting study. So I would actually be interested if you have a tiebreaker there.
So, worthless piece of information. I was watching some show, and they actually had someone on who was quasi-intelligent. He was the CEO of Norwest Health, which is the largest healthcare system in New York,
right.
Queens, Long Island. Hospitals like Long Island Jewish are all members of that chain. And he said off the cuff, oh, by the way, I'm not sure why everybody is so worked up about how many ventilators we have. Like, okay. This is back when we had to have 2 billion ventilators, right?
Right. Well, 40,000.
For every city.
And that's a good example of where it was politicized. I said, look, Donald Trump is not sending the ventilators. They topped out at needing about 4,000, and they had more than enough in the Federal
that's
Reserve.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So, but he said, you know, everybody knows that only 15% of the people put on a ventilator live.
Right.
And the news program I'm watching didn't even listen. They went right over it. And I'm like, wait a second, 1 out of every 8 people on a ventilator live? That means 7 out of 8 die.
Right.
Okay. So, I thought it was an interesting factoid from one healthcare system that's
right.
very large that had a load of COVID in it,
right.
which was Long Island, Queens, and Manhattan. That's where their hospitals are, right?
Right.
So I call a friend of mine. A friend of mine is one of the department heads at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
Okay.
Brigham and Women's Hospital is a world-class Harvard Medical School hospital. And it was totally transformed in 1 week from a all-purpose hospital to the COVID-only hospital in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So they transformed it from, all functions for every specialty to COVID only a giant emergency room, and they went from 50 to 500 ICU beds in a week. It's impressive.
That is impressive.
Okay? And so I called him, and I said, and I talked to him about a whole bunch of stuff, and I'll leave his name unsaid. And I said, so I heard that 15% of the patients that go on a ventilator live. Is that true in your hospital? And he says, no, in my hospital, that's optimistic.
Well, here's my question, too.
That's
when I look at
optimistic.
Those. Well, I know
he says it's more like high single digits. So I'm saying, you're telling me it's 1 in 10?
Yeah. So the studies
so
that
like,
I had
wow.
read was
like,
9.
Wow.
I had read 9%, and then I had read
real
as
world.
High as 32%. I don't know which one is true.
That
but,
live?
Yeah. And yeah. it seemed high to me because most of the studies seem to be between 9 and 20%. That's what I seem to. But there are so many conflicting studies on that.
Well, a lot
and
depends
I do wonder,
on what your population looks like, your patient population, where they come from.
Yeah. And as much as I know that might help the case that I believe deaths are overinflated, I think that regardless of whether it's COVID, by the time someone goes on a ventilator, they're often at death's door. So a good
yeah.
example is my
yeah.
wife just, she came out of an operation, she had GBS. And what that does is it moves from the feet upward where she just couldn't move, she couldn't walk, she couldn't move her toes. And so the concern was it can actually move up to the diaphragm where it causes the same kind of neurological paralysis where they can't breathe and they're put on a ventilator.
Right.
Now, I don't know that that's because ventilator treatment isn't effective or at that point the GBS is so severe that it's not really enough to save them.
Right.
But I do think you're right in that the media, of course, politicized that issue and said, well, where are the ventilators? We need ventilators. And there were a lot of medical professionals saying that's actually not the best way to try and help these people,
right.
particularly when we should be talking about CPAPs, the difference between a pressurized environment or assistive.
Right, because the real question is how much oxygen do they get?
Right.
And there's other ways to supply oxygen without intubating someone.
Right.
And so the other ways to do that actually could be more effective, but
totally.
It's hard to know because you don't do a study and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's trying to.
Are you talking about like hyperbaric chambers or something?
Well, either a hyperbaric chamber or even like the oxygen helmets that if you looked at the hospitals in Milan
mm-hmm.
and the hospitals in Italy, because they didn't have thousands of ventilators.
Yeah.
They use these oxygen helmets and basically you're increasing the level of oxygen for somebody, but you're not forcing it into their system and intubating them.
Right.
So you can make an argument that perhaps that could be as effective or maybe more effective.
It probably is more effective.
Don't
but
know.
There are some trade-offs.
Right.
Have you ever seen oxygen helmet hair? Terrible.
Don't care.
Makes hat hair look like a like
I,
child's play.
I don't care about
but
hair.
I, would
I
like
obviously
to,
don't care about hair.
I would like
hair.
To go back to what you mentioned about the summer, how they are continuing these death counts, saying, well, weather doesn't affect it. That's a very generalized statement. Kind of like these are the deaths, right? That's a very generalized statement, whereas
mm-hmm.
when you get a little granular, it tells a little
mm-hmm.
bit more of a story. Well, let's go to some specifics there, because I've heard that as well. Does UV light kill COVID? Yes, beyond any shadow of a doubt, it does.
Good.
Where does COVID
That's
have a
good.
More difficult time living?
Outside.
Heat, humidity. Specifically, once you get above 80 degrees, I think depending on the study, above 80% humidity, some have said as low as 72, UV sunlight, it can kill it, eviscerate it in 60 seconds.
Great.
Now, some people
Let's
can
move
say...
move to Houston.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but then you have to be in Houston. Again, we're talking about trade-offs. Final thing, then. I think we found quite a bit of common. I'm glad you sat down.
No, because I just thought it was an interesting question. I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, don't you... The issue is when you have people whose livelihoods have been shut down based on a number that is at the very least unverifiable, and I would argue verifiably false. Let's go to a specific. Do you think, for example, and I know that you probably agree with me on this, but some people have not. If I try to kill myself, okay, let's say I put a shotgun in my head, I take a bottle of pills, I don't know, I stab myself. Some people have done it. It's rare, not the easiest way to go. And I'm close to killing myself, but not entirely successful, and I go to the hospital. And then at that point, obviously they have me, let's say, in a ventilator, they're trying to keep me alive. I happen to contract coronavirus, COVID, right before I die. Do you believe that should be listed as a COVID
no.
death? It is. That's an exact case in Michigan.
Well, it shouldn't be.
And there are thousands of cases like that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case. Because,
right.
Because COVID isn't what killed somebody. It was some other underlying condition that killed somebody or some combination of underlying conditions that killed
right.
somebody. Or circumstances that killed somebody.
And if you take away those numbers, for example, the 25% that are completely untested, the kind of cases that I just presented to you, which are verifiable, and then, of course, you take away the abysmal New York policy that forced nursing homes to take in COVID patients from hospitals, you were talking about many, many tens of thousands
yeah.
of lives that aren't on that list. Now you're looking at a severe flu season.
Yeah.
Do you think that it would change the public's perception of the very stringent lockdowns if they understood the real numbers?
Oh, sure it could. You know, and that's why statistics are important. So You know, in my statistics class a long time ago in university, I remember one thing. My professor told me, just remember this one thing and you'll pass statistics.
I think I know what you're about to say.
Statistics don't lie, liars use statistics. So you got to be really careful when you listen to statistics from people to make sure you really know what they're measuring.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And that's what basically you're saying, and that makes sense. What you're saying makes sense.
I appreciate you sitting down. Drees?
Yeah.
Unique name. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, that's
really
What's
helpful.
Your name?
Steven. Steven, sorry, how rude of me. I didn't give you my name.
That's
I was
all right.
Overeating.
That's all right. It's nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, sir.
I enjoy debate.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem like we were really debating about a whole lot.
No, it's just most people can't debate anymore. Most people can't even have a discussion with each other because they get all goofy. And people are afraid to think, and people are afraid to speak their mind.
Well, that's what the change
which
my mind
shame,
is.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame. It's a shame. And what we just did, this is what we've done for years. And we have been chased out of campus, shouted down, I've been referred to as a neo-Nazi. Your guess is as good as mine. My Jewish friend also referred to as a neo-Nazi. So this idea now really is about shouting people down. I mean, now you have people who want to propose policies to make it illegal for folks who don't kneel. I mean, how do you have a discussion with that at that point? I'm more than willing to sit down and talk with anyone with whom I disagree. Seems to me like you're probably like me, where you like to rationalize discussions even if you agree, but that's how you flex the muscle.
Right.
You know, that's how it's a perishable skill like anything else. If you don't use this rationalization portion of your brain, and they don't teach the Socratic method in college anymore.
Yeah,
I've asked every college student, said, are you familiar with the Socratic method? That was philosophy 101. That was critical, but now they teach critical race theory, critical gender theory, which is fine as an addendum.
I had to take 2 years of philosophy in undergrad, so
okay,
it was forced. It was forced.
Yeah,
and it was good. It was good. I'm glad I got it. But anyway, it's you're asking a good question, and basically you can't argue with the fact that if every case or almost every case where COVID is involved is considered a COVID death.
Yeah.
It has to be overstated. It's impossible that it's not.
Yeah.
The question is how much is it overstated?
Right.
And you would seem like there should be a couple of different counts.
Right.
One count would be anybody who had COVID who died.
Right.
Another count would be anybody who had COVID and was autopsied in some way, shape, or fashion, or examined in some way, shape, to determine the cause of death should be another number.
Yeah.
You know? And then anybody who's a question mark should probably be another number.
There should be a separate category.
There should be separate categories.
Right. Instead, they're all lumped under.
And that doesn't make sense when you really stop and think about it. It doesn't make any sense.
No, and it's not the same standard that's applied to other, you know, seasonal viruses like the flu, or frankly, the same standard that was applied to other coronaviruses that we've seen or other SARS viruses that we've seen. This is the one scenario where it's measured entirely differently. And at the very least, there have been others that were just sort of lumped in when it was new and then it was revised.
Well, I'm going to give you an example. An example of the same thing, it's going to sound stupid, it's personal, is technically I remember seeing my father's death report. Okay, when my father's death report was written, it said he died of a heart attack.
I think we wanted to talk after that.
Right. But guess what? He did die of a heart attack. However, he had lung cancer for 4 years. Now, do you think the heart attack killed him, or do you think the cancer?
I thought you was going to say you jumped out behind his bed frame and went boo.
No. But my point is, cancer's the thing that killed the man.
Right.
It just so happened that at the very end, his heart gave in, and that's how they put it on the report.
Speaking of cancer,
which is bullshit. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay,
it's all right.
That's very different.
Don't worry about it. I love cigars.
Oh, so anyway, thank you, Drees.
Really nice
appreciate
to meet
it,
you.
Brother. What a swell guy that Drees. Weird name, though. By the way, if you want these videos to continue, please do consider joining up at Mug Club. It's $69 annually for students, veterans, active military. You get this wonderful hand-etched mug and the full daily show, not available on YouTube, but available exclusively at loudwithcrowder.com/mugclub, along with the entire Blaze TV lineup. If not, at least bookmark this channel and check back every single day for new videos and content. Let's get back to the show. Meet Paul. Nice to meet you, Paul.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, I understand that you wanted to sit down. First, kind of let me explain what change of mind is and what isn't.
Sure.
It's not really meant to be a debate. It's meant to be rationalizing one's own position, particularly on subjects that are controversial at the time. Often those subjects are the ones that are really the hardest for people to sit down and have a conversation about and find common ground and or disagreement, right? It usually turns into something like a yelling match. So today, it's back in the news, kind of went away for a while. I absolutely do believe that the COVID-19 death count is inflated. I agree with a lot of experts who say that's the case. I think it's pretty hard to argue for the 110,000 to 120,000 number total that's being cited out there. If you disagree with me, you're more than willing to you're more than welcome to change my mind.
Okay. So what numbers do you think it actually is?
Yeah. Well, first off, let me ask you: do you agree with that number, that general total that's been given out?
Yeah, okay. More or less.
Yeah, I think it's at least 25% inflated.
Okay.
And the reason for that is for the same reason that, you know, Dr. Birx has expressed that she believes it's about inflated by at least 25%, and a lot of healthcare professionals have. Let's go through a couple of instances. So in New York, 25% of all COVID-listed deaths were never tested at all.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yep.
They were never tested, just listed as guest COVID-19. And are you aware of what happened in Colorado? And by the way, none of these are trick questions. A lot of people aren't necessarily aware of these. Are you aware of what happened in Colorado?
Not offhand. Go ahead.
So they said that they needed better data. And listen, let's both agree that data could change tomorrow, so something that we could say today could be wrong tomorrow, both of us, right? Especially when it's a pandemic and it's a new mutating disease. In Colorado, they said, we need more accurate data because this is much like New York. Everyone who dies who has COVID in their system just lists as a COVID death. That doesn't really help us get a good picture of what's going on.
Right.
So they separated death from COVID. They separated that from death with COVID, where people happen to die with it in their system.
Right.
The number of deaths dropped by, take a guess.
The 25%?
About 25%. Then all nursing home deaths were listed as COVID-19 deaths, despite the fact that 25% of all deaths in any given month come from nursing home patients because they're very old.
Right.
And again, that removes 25%.
And it is true that a lot of people that have been dying from corona are your older patients.
Absolutely.
People that have pre-existing conditions,
yes.
all sorts of other things.
Yeah. In New York, actually, the median age for a corona patient death is older than life expectancy.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think with a lot of these, even though it's a case with corona, I think it could just be the one thing that tips them over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they had diabetes or whatever, some long chronic thing, but I think it was causing people that were going to die anyway to actually die ahead of time, unfortunately.
I think in some cases that's true. Not in all cases. So let's use an example. If someone's hit by a car, George Floyd had COVID in his system.
Right.
Do you think COVID killed him?
Nope.
No, I think
that is
the
2020 headline of the year, though, right?
Right,
Corona,
yeah.
And George Floyd.
Right. That's exactly right. And then back to Corona once the riots start settling down. No, exactly. I think we'd both agree that that's probably the knee on the back of his neck, and obviously the drugs in his system would be what led to his death, not the fact that he had COVID, where seemed from what we know now, asymptomatic. So we would say that's not a COVID death. Now, in the state of New York, that would have been listed as a COVID death only a few weeks before if you remove the politicization. Someone hit by a car who has COVID in their system. Is it a COVID death?
I've heard cases of that. Have they actually filed them as COVID deaths?
Yeah. Let me give you a very specific... Let me use another hypothetical, because I think this matters when you look at these numbers. Let's say I try and kill myself. Bunch of pills, put a gun to my head, whatever it is. Take a very effective method of attempting suicide. I'm close, but no cigar. So I get put in the hospital, right? Basically put on life support. They're trying to help me survive. And I don't make it. And just before I die from my suicide, I get COVID-19. Is that a COVID death?
No. And I would think it would be one of these few outliers, too. Does that
That is literally a COVID death right now.
But would that add up to 25%?
Well, it's tough to know because 25% of the deaths are never tested. So here's what we do know. 25% of the deaths are never tested. Anywhere we've said, let's separate that from death with COVID. We remove 25% off the bat. Anytime we look at a lot of these individual cases where we see these people who died with COVID, there are a lot of complications. Texas, I don't know if you're a Texas native, if you're California yourself.
Yep.
The first Texas COVID death, do you know what it was? The first one registered as a COVID death.
Not offhand, actually.
And it's not a trick question, because I was surprised. How old do you think the guy was?
I don't know, 60.
97 years old with a severe underlying condition. And I couldn't find the exact underlying condition because I don't necessarily have access to all the medical reports. I would think that one of the underlying conditions is being 97.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So when you look at the numbers and you say this reduces it by 25%, the average age of COVID patient death is older than life expectancy in states like New York. And for example, in New York, there was a policy where nursing homes had to take in, you know, this COVID patients, which, listen, while the last gentleman was talking about compassion, that to me is just an absolute nightmare. It's a buzzsaw where you take nursing homes and force them to take in sick patients from the hospital that should be equipped to deal with them to a nursing home where they're not able to deal with them. We know that they are most at risk. If you take away just those, just the ones that aren't tested, just the litmus tests that are used like in Colorado, and just the old folks' home deaths in New York, you've reduced that number by many, many, many tens of thousands. And I think that matters because that might, now you're at a severe flu season. And considering the economic damage,
I mean, it is greater than it's been by any other flu that we've seen. I think the 2017 was like 80,000?
It was 85,000, and they reduced it. They reduced it because, again, they reviewed those deaths, which they haven't done with COVID. That's something else that's interesting to me. Yeah. Flu season is what?
3 or 4 months.
Right, typically, yeah. It's something like, depends who you ask, somewhere between like October or November through March or April, right?
Right.
And then that's the year, you just cited the year 2016, 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Okay, so you mean 2016, 2017 from that season, right?
Right.
What happens after that season? What turns it into 2017, 2018? It resets.
Right.
We're still counting the same COVID deaths to the total from...
Well, but we haven't even done a full year, right?
But it would be from that season. It would be from that seasonal flu, right? You would have it from January through, now we're going into July?
Right. Yeah.
So shouldn't that reset very similarly to the flu?
I'd say so, but... But yeah, I mean, okay, let's say it's about 6 months for each. It's about comparable now. People were saying, oh,
sure.
Back when it was like 50,000 deaths, oh, it's way less than the regular flu, nothing to worry about. Now I think we're at a point now where we do have a bit more data. It'll be interesting to see when we actually go into next fall, when we get potentially the second wave. And then we will be able to compare a full season of flu to corona.
Well, I don't think it should be added to the same total. Because now, like you said, we're already through 6 months, it should reset. Right, if we're going to apply it to standard flu deaths. Now, let me ask you this, because I agree with you. We do have more data. Now, I do think if you reduce it by I'm saying at least 25%, right? And I think we both agreed that those should not be counted as COVID deaths, the ones that I mentioned, the attempted suicide, being hit by a car.
Sure.
Maybe a 97-year-old who's in hospice.
He'd be cuspy. I think the suicides and stuff would be good, but I don't know if they'd be 25%. Maybe 5 or 10.
Well, 25% aren't tested at all. So we don't know at all about those 25%. And of the remaining ones where we do have reports, there are a lot of cases like this, right?
Right, and of those other ones too, there's the opposite. Sorry,
that's no problem.
Where they had some sort of symptoms, heart failure, lung, pneumonia, that sort of thing, but they didn't get tested. So
correct.
It could have been the other way around, where they did have corona, we just figured it was a regular.
It's very unlikely. And let
me
explain
it to you. They are sampling it more towards the side of.
Would we agree that's, because I just had a wife who was in the hospital for a while, and the very first thing they did was test her for COVID and meet a visitor. So would we both agree that if someone is going into the hospital, really at any point this year, they are far more likely to be immediately tested for COVID than for pneumonia?
Yeah, probably true.
So I think we would both agree that if you're going to weigh that, the scales would tip in the balance of they're over-testing for corona. That's why we have more cases now, even though deaths are going down, right? Cases are going up, but deaths are going down. So I do agree with you that we have more data. And I think we need to, and you tell me if you think, I think that we do need to adjust our approach based on data.
Okay.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't think that we should stay, as many governors, from my home state of Michigan, in perpetual lockdown if the data shows that, actually it's not a 3 or 4 or 7% death rate, it's a 0.3% death rate as we know now.
Right?
I think we need to adapt. Would we agree with that?
Yeah, I think I'm at the point now, when it first started, I was freaking out. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a big fat apocalypse. And part of that was China. And I really think China has undercounted their deaths.
Yeah, they need to be held accountable.
Because they're saying that they're at like 80,000 cases and like 4,000 deaths.
Nowhere else in the world.
Yeah, and it did like a exponential and then nothing.
Right.
So I'm sure that theirs are, underinflated.
Cooking the books a little bit.
And that's what made me freak out. I'm like, well, if China's going to shut down their whole economy and they don't shut down their economy for anything, this is going to be really bad. But it looks like now that we've had some time to look at the data, it's not quite bad.
Right.
I would say it's more than a regular flu.
Yes.
I definitely say if you look at like the total mortality charts, which just like add up everyone that's died, that's gone up significantly. So it's definitely had an impact on people dying.
Yes. It's definitely had an impact on people dying. I just think that we need to be honest about the numbers, and the American public aren't necessarily, most Americans, you're more informed than many of them, they're not aware that the 25% of deaths aren't counted at all. They're not aware that states that finally said death from COVID and death with COVID when we separated 25% reduction. Many of them aren't even aware that probably the foremost health expert on this topic, Dr. Birx, along with Dr. Fauci, and again, it shows us that experts can disagree, right, that she thinks it's 25% overcounted. Now, I do agree with you that it's more severe than the normal flu. The statistics that we see, though, what's interesting to me is that it's actually not any more dangerous, not significantly more dangerous than the normal flu for young people, but significantly more dangerous for old people. Well, now, let me ask you this. Because remember the initial reports, right? The reason for all of this pandemonium was the Imperial College of London study, right? Mm-hmm. Neil Ferguson.
Right.
And you remember what they predicted? How many people dead?
Like 2 million or something.
Yeah, it was like 2 million, a 7% death rate, remember?
Right.
Now the people who were skeptics said, I think this will be a more severe flu, which has a death rate of 0.1 to 0.0, depending on the year, right? Where we had a really bad flu year of 85,000, right? So 2 million, that was the number we used for the lockdown, versus the anti-science skeptics who said, I think it'll be closer to the flu. On that scale, where are we? Do we have a disease that's closer to the anti-science skeptics, as they were called, or closer to the experts who said 2 million?
Yeah, so like on a 1 to 10, with 10 being the 2 million and 1 being nothing, I'd say 3 or 4. So it's definitely...
Maybe even less, it'd be a 2.
Maybe.
Yeah, especially if you reduce to 25%. But let's even take that number, 85,000, like you said, 80,000 deaths from a really bad flu season. And let's even take, which is what it looks like, but let's say it's 110 or 115,000 now. Here's 80,000. Here's 2 million.
Yeah, right? I guess. So I was skeptical of that when that came out at the time, too.
Right.
I thought the second round of numbers that they had of about 200,000, which is probably what we're on track for now, it seems about right.
If we use the metrics of just counting anyone who dies who has it in their system, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if we get the second wave.
Right.
We'll see, probably about this weekend when it goes, 2 to 3 weeks from when all these protests have been starting.
You think that might have an impact?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think the media has been blaming it on Memorial Day and not the protests? Not
because
the riots.
Right. They can't admit that it's been the riots that have been spreading it.
I think we would agree on that.
So that'll be interesting, especially around here. Like, Dallas had those big riots the first weekend.
Deep Ellum was trashed.
Yeah.
Completely trashed.
So we'll see pretty soon here what's going to happen. And, of course, before that, Texas started undoing the lockdown.
Right.
As for me, I think we shouldn't have gone into... Well, it depends on the state. I think Dallas was okay, or Texas was okay. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'm very mixed on the lockdown thing.
Right.
I'm of the opinion that I think people should be able to go out and do whatever they want to do, but it's not going to be my problem when they get sick.
I understand. Well, then you must be against some kind of a socialized healthcare system.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So there you go. So more libertarian. I understand that approach, yeah. And I think that it's important to note that states that have had lockdowns haven't fared better than states that haven't had lockdowns. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that lockdowns don't work, but it's very clear that you cannot definitively say lockdowns work. Because
yeah.
There are a bunch of confounding factors. Like in New York, for example, the horrible policy of old folks' homes.
Right.
Michigan was, almost all of them were coming from Wayne County and Detroit. You know, you have places in northern Michigan that don't have a single active case, and they're in complete lockdown.
Yep,
and let me ask you this. When I said the numbers, do you think that maybe after leaving this table, though, you might look into the numbers a little bit, and maybe the number that we're given, at the very least, you might say, well, that's the highest number we probably can possibly have, and there's a strong likelihood that it's lower than what we're being given. That's
yeah,
really what
I
I'm
think
saying.
The big thing for me would be the suicides and other things that somehow got counted.
That's exactly what I was going to go to next. You have to take those into account, right?
Is there an actual aggregate source of that? Because I've seen one-off stories.
I haven't found anything definitive. I have seen, depending on
tough,
the state,
yeah.
where you can find some studies that say suicides have multiplied by five times. You can find
see
some
that,
that say
that's
suicide.
That's what happens when everyone loses their jobs and they're stuck at home.
Right. And so I think if you take all these things into account, the idea of the stringent lockdowns and that you're anti-science if you don't 100% agree with it,
yeah.
that's a real problem for me. And the idea that if you don't listen to people who say 2 million lockstep, well, you don't listen to the experts, then there are a lot of experts who said it wasn't going to be 2 million, and it turns out they were right. For the longest time, we were told the experts said don't wear masks.
Yeah.
Remember that? Don't wear masks. Then it's, well, now you're not listening to the experts if you do wear masks.
I think the thing with that, as you said at the beginning, is everyone is freaking out and realizing, oh crap, we need these supplies for our hospitals. So don't wear masks, citizens. We need to have everyone else have the medical people with them.
They're still dishonest.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They should have just said, hey, masks work, masks help, but please send them to our healthcare workers. Instead, they said a mask could hurt you, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and on the other hand, if you look at China aside, East Asian countries have actually been pretty good as far as cases.
Well, they also basically dox their own citizens, like in South Korea, so... The contact tracing was very severe, they show the public where these people are who may have coronavirus. And again, that does come into, in the United States, are we willing to give up our civil liberties where anyone in our block should know our goings-on because we may have tested positive. I'm not willing to give up that liberty for a disease that, again, I believe is being dramatically overcounted as far as death totals.
Yeah, that gets pretty dicey pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I work in cybersecurity and I can think of all sorts of bad things you can do with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Once you give that up, you never get it back. But
with Japan and Taiwan, they have a mask wearing culture, and Taiwan especially didn't have very many cases at all. So I think it helped with them a lot.
Well,
Taiwan,
a big part of that is their deep mistrust of China and the CDC, and the World Health Organization, by the way, refused to even acknowledge them as any kind of an independent nation, state at all. And so right away when China said, oh, it's nothing to work. Taiwan said, we're doing the exact opposite, took all precautions. So a big part of it is their deep mistrust of China and the World Health Organization, who parroted the 2 million number.
Yep.
Yeah. the Taiwan thing, that's a whole other scenario where it's amazing to me if you have Americans here who riot in the streets for injustice, but not a peep when it comes to Taiwan or Hong Kong. All right, what's your name? Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Paul, thank you so much, Paul, for sitting down, brother. I hope it was productive. It was helpful. Thank you, man. Hey, if you enjoyed this installment of Change My Mind, click one of these other installments in the videos playing in boxes here. That's the only way you'll find them, because if you search Change My Mind, they might not show up because YouTube's deemed them controversial. Subscribe, hit the notification bell, and, you know, we'll see you, but we probably won't.